Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you'll hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we travel to Sioux City, Iowa, where we interview Todd Moyer, the general manager of the Sioux City Hard Rock, on how that casino has fit into the community in the years since it opened. The Hard Rock Sioux City debuted in August of 2014, replacing an aging riverboat owned by Penn National Gaming. After leaving Atlantic City, Todd Moyer has extensive experience in Iowa, running the Diamond Joe in Dubuque. As the first general manager at Hard Rock Sioux City, he's the perfect leader, with experience in entertainment and gaming. The Hard Rock has become a focal point of the downtown revival of Sioux City and has quickly become one of the most prosperous casinos in the state. Moyer's experience has paid off with top-flight entertainment inside and out, a vibrant casino floor, and unique food and beverage offerings. He spoke with me from a suite in the small boutique Hard Rock Hotel in early September. Todd Moyer, thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. Here we are in Sioux City. We go way back to Atlantic City when you were just a lad, a slot host. So it's great to see you here.
Yeah, thanks, Roger. I love Sioux City, Iowa. It's been a great experience.
Well, this property, I was just telling you, I've seen many casinos in my life, and this property is one of the most unique I've ever seen. The hotel rooms in the old building are just spectacular. The way it's situated here in town, really kind of being the focal point of the city at this point. I guess it's all new construction at this end of the city, so it's really a very unique place.
It really has brought a great anchor to downtown. Mm-hmm. We have great access to the historic 4th Street District, where there's some great shops and restaurants, and historic Pearl Street just to the north of us. And this building that we're in now was built in 1905.
Okay.
It was a Simmons Hardware Company. They made everything from farming implements to knives. They had a brand of knives called Keen Cutlery with a K, and it's still very collectible.
Okay.
So it all started right here.
Amazing. Well, it's a huge building. It's very thick brick walls, the huge beams going through every room. It's just spectacular. And I guess, and every room is really laid out differently because of the age of the building.
Yeah, this building was built right along the banks of the Missouri River because it had access to the trade routes. It had a 17-rail switch station here and, of course, access to the Missouri River. And those railroad tracks actually drove right through what is now our hotel lobby. So the train would come in and drop off the raw materials needed to make those implements and things, and then when the goods were ready for market, a train came through the other side and picked it up, and off it went. So it's quite a unique building, like you said, and what I love about it is the architecture is so beautiful. Like you mentioned, the wood ceilings and the rich wood columns that go through each room and the brick walls. And it's interesting because it was never built for public access. It was built as a factory.
Right.
And this is the way they knew to make buildings then, beautiful brick arch windows and things like that.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah, it's gorgeous up on here on the fourth floor. There's some just windows that look out over the city. So let's back up and talk about how this project came to be. There was a casino here in Sioux City, the Argosy Casino, since the start of riverboat gambling in Iowa back in the 90s. But how did the license get transferred over here?
Well, I think just like many other jurisdictions that have had limited gaming, they're looking for a full entertainment experience, more to do than just gaming. And when the co-licensees, the not-for-profit board, the way Iowa works is each casino is co-owned by a not-for-profit. Ours is called the Missouri River Historical Development. And what they did, went out and looked for partners that could build a great property that would bring people in far and away and offer them something to do than other than just gaming. So happy to say in our first year we had 2.1 million visitors. We built a great facility, not just for gaming, but a beautiful entertainment facility, a venue inside called Anthem that has a capacity of about 850 people. Then an outdoor venue, Battery Park, that can do concerts for up to 4,000 people.
Right.
A 54-room boutique-style hotel and great restaurants and just really a cool vibe.
Right, yeah, no question about it. It certainly got that Hard Rock vibe about it. I was looking at some of the artifacts you have up on the wall, like all Hard Rock properties, and there's some really spectacular ones of the Beatles and the Beach Boys and Hendrix and just some things from my generation anyway that I can really relate to. But as with every Hard Rock, I guess you get multi-generational appeal here.
Absolutely. So definitely there's legends on the walls, like you said.
Right.
You can see Bruce Springsteen and Janis Joplin and a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Some country here.
Right.
Johnny Cash, one of our more popular exhibits. We have the Ramones. We have a great Elvis collection. Mm-hmm. So Michael Jackson, his moonwalking shoes are on the wall. So a little bit of something that's for everyone. And it rotates through. So we have this access to a $100 million collection of rock and roll memorabilia. And we can always bring new stuff in from that collection and swap with our partners around the globe.
Okay. So you mentioned the your nonprofit partner. Who are the other ownership interests in this property?
Well, we're owned by a company called SCE Partners, mm-hmm. Sioux City Entertainment Partners, and we're managed by Warner Gaming.
Right.
Warner Gaming is headed by a guy named Bill Warner,
right.
and it's based out of Las Vegas, so they're really the operating partner in it. And MERD is made up of some local movers and shakers, mm-hmm. if you will, and philanthropists that have kind of joined forces to disseminate the funds. And we support MERD with just over $3 million annually in our first year, and I'm sure that number will continue to go up. But it just feels good. You know,
right.
I grew up in Atlantic City market, and
right.
it was tough to sometimes get all the operators at the table together to work together. And
right.
I really feel like we have a good working relationship here with everyone, and it's fun to see that money stays in the community and goes back to create some great things like museums and quality art exhibits and just quality of life enhancement type initiatives.
Well, let's talk about the gaming market. You know, you are the only casino in Sioux City, but there's some Indian casinos, tribal casinos around here as well. Do you have a lot of a main competitor, or is it do you pretty much control this market?
Well, I think we control this market for sure. I mean, you know, we're our biggest competitor, and what we're looking to do is just kind of reverse course, if you will, in Sioux City. There's been some new gaming jurisdictions pop up. The properties down in Council Bluffs,
right.
Iowa, they've done some big expansions and improved their product over the last decade. And there's a new casino opened 3 years ago in Larchwood, Iowa, which is just east of Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay.
And we have lost some of the traditional Sioux City gamers have left this market and went to those other jurisdictions. We're getting them all back now, though, that now that we have a much more competitive product here and more to do than just gaming. So, you know, last year we make about $77 million in gaming revenue on 2.1 million visitors. So the average person plays about $35 on the gaming floor. The rest of their time, they're out here looking for an entertainment experience, a great meal, a great hotel room, and a show, or maybe to do some shopping.
Well, I saw Battery Park last night. It looks like a nice venue out there. Do you have seats out there, or is that just kind of a stand-up venue, or how does that work, or do you both?
We do both.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very versatile venue. We had Colby Calais with Christina Perry and Rachel Platten out there a couple weeks ago, and we had 3,000 fixed seats for a show like that. Then when we did Three Doors Down and Seether, we did mostly standing out there, a couple VIP. We have a real convenient elevated VIP area, stage left, and that holds a couple hundred. But then we had 3,000 people on the ground for that, standing and cheering for a rock show. So very versatile, so from 3,000 seats to 3,000 standing and all points in between.
Okay. Now, you've also got a hotel across the street, which is kind of a conference center, a hotel. I saw the Sioux City Conference Center or Convention Center, which is, you know, a few blocks down from here. Are you playing a part in that, the meetings and convention space here?
Absolutely. Well, we have a 54-room, really boutique-style hotel, you know, happy to be rated by AAA as a four-diamond property.
Right.
One of only four in Iowa and the only one in the Siouxland area here. So we have a great product, but we don't have enough rooms, quite frankly. I mean, we need more rooms, more restaurants, more amenities. We don't have enough restaurants to feed 3,000 people that might be coming to a show, or certainly don't have enough rooms to house everybody. So I really believe high tides rise all ships, and we've been a catalyst for growth here, and we've filled hotels from the Convention Center Hotel, like you mentioned, also Stony Creek, and then our partners just across the river in Nebraska at the Marina Inn. So we buy rooms ourselves for our players, but also they do a great job of doing packages with us. So a room and a show, a room and dinner kind of thing works out really well. We bring a lot of traffic right here to downtown, and we want them to have something else to do too.
Okay. So I was looking at the license plate in the parking lot, something I always do when I go to a casino, and you've got South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa license plates in there. So I guess you've got a pretty good market just on the borders of the state as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you can walk to Nebraska from here. You can walk to South Dakota. So we're right at the apex of those three states. But we do get significant traffic from Iowa as well. Mm-hmm. But again, the Nebraska market's very important to us, as is South Dakota. We do draw from as far away as Minnesota. And then the entertainment brings in people from all over. I mean, in our first year, we distributed tickets to 93,000 people through our ticketing software, and we just ran the analysis on that. We actually sold tickets to people in 46 different states.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. That's great. So what's the gambler, the Iowa gambler like? You also ran the Diamond Joe in Dubuque for quite some time. Dubuque, right?
Right.
Right. So is there anything unique about the Iowa gambler that you don't find somewhere else?
Well, I'll tell you this, Roger. You know, I worked in New Jersey for quite a while in Atlantic City, and then I spent about 5 years in Las Vegas, and now here I am in Iowa, so the three gaming capitals of the country.
Right.
And but one thing I'll say that's unique about Iowans is they're just more relaxed, kind of laid back. And I remember in New Jersey, if you ever had like a hiccup with a promotion or a sweepstakes, or you open the doors a little bit late for a party, the customers there would let you know about it. They'll let you know about it. And here I think people are a little bit more forgiving. So it's fun. I love the labor pool here too. I mean, the team members that we have hired are just good, very friendly, outgoing, personal people.
I've noticed the service level was very high last night.
If anything, they probably go from welcome, sir, to how you all doing? Come on back soon.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit too quick. But we keep them, polished and focused on making the guest feel special. But most of the time, the guest is going to tell you to be a little bit more relaxed. Don't call me sir. You don't have to call me mister.
Right.
And treat him like a friend. That's what I think we do best.
You know, you really started your career kind of on the entertainment side. I remember I was just telling this story the other day when we were talking about our meetings with Donald Trump over the years. And I was telling a story about when I was went up to interview Donald one time in New York in his offices in Trump Tower, and he brings me in along with Nick Ribas, who was running his casinos at the time, and they immediately start in on me, what's the Hard Rock experience like? Because they were talking to Hard Rock about branding Trump's castle at the time as a Hard Rock, and they spent half an hour like peppering me with questions, because I always stayed at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas when I would go there. What's it like? Why do you like it? You know, and I didn't get to do my interview till half an hour into the meeting. So, but eventually they ended up doing a rebranding of Trump's Castle in an entertainment venue, but not like Hard Rock. They slapped some guitars on the wall. They thought that was going to do it, and it didn't do it, of course. But you were involved in that, in bringing a lot of the entertainment in. You did a lot of cutting-edge stuff there. You were the guy that invented Fake Fest, which is going on to this day still at the Golden Nugget there, which was all the tribute band. So how do you feel about that entertainment experience when you come to a casino now?
Well, you know, I was working at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas in 1999 and 2000 when I got the call to join the Trump Arena team in Atlantic City, and they were in the middle of this rebranding effort to turn it into the Wild Side of Atlantic City. So I certainly embraced that, and they were going after that next generation of gamers, and I think they did a fantastic job. You know, this was at a time when there was no real nightclubs in Atlantic City. Nobody was doing cutting-edge entertainment.
Right.
You know, everybody was doing the old casino standards like Engelbert or Wayne Newton or things like that, and we brought in Van Halen, we had Kool and the Gang, I remember that year, and Sammy Hagar, and we just did a total refocus and tipped the Atlantic City skyline towards the Marina District for sure, and we set out to do something a little bit different, and we did that, but we also wanted to make sure that the people that were 40 and 50 and 60 years old felt 30 there, and I used to always say that if you were 50 and went to the Hard Rock in Las Vegas, you feel 70 because the people there are so young, and it's such a different vibe. But I really do believe that in New Jersey at that time, that if you were 50, you felt younger and you felt like it was a trade-up experience in the Atlantic City market.
Yeah.
And I think we owned that position for quite some time. And, of course, you know, now times have changed. Everybody kind of jumped on that bandwagon. But, you know, music, it's in our DNA. It is something that kind of joins us all together. Right. There's always that song that kind of takes you back to a time you can remember. You hear a song mm-hmm. and you remember a girl, maybe you remember right. an experience, a friend of yours from high school, an experience like that, that's really memorable, and it kind of touches on a certain emotion.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you brought to this property here, because like when I walk around and see these things on the wall that are so recognizable to me, it does trigger those type of memories.
Yeah, to us here, it was very important that we created a new vibe, a new experience mm-hmm. at every turn, because we knew we were going to get a lot of visitors come back time and time
right.
again. So you might be here for your sixth time and then mm-hmm. finally go over to the Yards Bar, for example, which pays homage to the stockyards that
right.
really built up Sioux City, but it's a focus there on whiskeys. So all of our bartenders have been certified and they passed mm-hmm. like what we call the Moonshine Academy.
Right.
But in any event, they learn a little bit about whiskey. They are able to tell people about the different kinds of whiskey, and it's a completely different experience mm-hmm. than you would find in, say, Anthem.
Right.
Anthem's a focus on craft beers and a little bit more laid-back experience. It's mm-hmm. something different. And we've created these vibes at each turn that you can create a different experience every time you come here.
Right, right. Now, it looks like you got a lot of land in this development. I mean, the parking lot stretch, a couple of blocks away. Any ideas about possible expansion here?
I love it. We're just celebrating our first year anniversary, and we're talking about what's next. I think right now we like the footprint we have.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking to add some more premium amenities, and that's probably our focus in the near term. But yeah, we have some great ideas down the road, but nothing that we're going to pull the trigger on just yet.
Right. Well, it's only a year into it, and you're doing a great job, and I'm sure you're still fine-tuning some of the operations here. So thanks for the invite. I really enjoyed staying here last night. And again, a truly unique property, and can't wait to see what you have in up your sleeve.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a great pleasure to see you.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. If you want to read more about this issue or any issue in the gaming industry, read our magazine, GGB Magazine, or visit ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on the gaming industry, subscribe to GGB News. For more information, visit ggbnews.com. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.